Tony Penti going to join us shortly. Mike Bordick later. The whip around coming up in about 15 minutes. And right now, Matt in Maine, welcome to 105.7 The Fan.
Steve, I much appreciate that this morning. Good morning to you and Vinny. Hope you guys are doing well.
Yep. Good morning.
Yeah, have a safe weekend ahead of time, guys. Hope everything goes great down there for the 4th. But, yeah, Steve, wanted to ask you, I feel like you've seen probably way more baseball than I have, although I've seen a lot of it. I feel like going into next year, like, don't you agree that, like, one of the biggest problems with this team is, do you ever look at it and you feel like you see a lot of guys perhaps playing in positions that when this team is healthy, that aren't necessarily the positions they should be playing? Because I don't know, how do you go forward and expect to be a contender if a guy like Gunner, who clearly would be better at third than at short, like, I don't think you can have a shortstop on a World Series level team that's leading the league or tied for the league in errors each year. And it's like, when this year ends, more than likely, Gunner's going to be first or second in errors again, and that's with missing a chunk of time at the beginning of the year. And really, over a two-year period, he'll have more errors than he does home runs. And I just, for me personally, I wish the Orioles would go into next year and say, look, Gunner, like, we've got 3 years of team control left with you. You know, it's kind of like the Machado conversation. Machado wanted to play short before he got out of town, and when Buck moved him to short, you could see that he was inferior there. But yet he was all world at third. So for me, it's like, I feel like Elias drafted so many shortstops that he's like, well, this guy can play here and this guy can play here. But is it really the best setup? And would it make more sense to just maybe try Gunner at third, maybe go out and just sign a light hitting but highly superior defensive shortstop, keep Jackson at second, and then have a conversation about Westberg and Mayo splitting first, and whoever isn't playing first can DH. And I'll hang up and hear what you got to say about that. Take care, guys.
All right. I mean, you make an interesting case, but I'm going to respectfully disagree, because when I look at shortstop, I'm looking way beyond the error statistic. Here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the physical tools and gifts to play the position, which to me, Gunner has in abundance. He can range and go get that ball. He's got a hose for an arm. And I think I have a friend who says to me, Gunner's errors and Cal Ripken's errors the first few years are similar. And Gunner, I think, will grow into this position and be more consistent over time. I'll tell you, we got a guy coming up, Mike Bordick. I'd like to hear his opinion on it. And if I were the Orioles, every day in spring training next year, I would have Cal Ripken on one side of Gunner, Mike Bordick on the other, and I'd have shortstop class every day. Because to what better resources do they have for this young kid to get better at the position?
Well, the thing about it, it looks like, just watching him, his footwork has cleaned up a lot over last year, because he's not, you know, he's setting his feet to throw more this year than he did last year. Everything was on the move, sidearm, you know, and that gets to be the inaccuracies. And does he still have some? Yeah, but I mean, look at, you know, the great plays that he makes, like the catch over his shoulder and, you know, some of the balls that he gets. And maybe he gets errors, you know, on some balls that other shortstops don't even touch. You know, those kind of things, too.
I thought Gunner had more than 7 errors, but I'm looking at error leaders at shortstop in the major leagues right now. Willie Adames and Ellie De La Cruz have 12. Anthony Volpe, who's considered a good defender, has 11. Did he win a gold glove? Gunner has 7. Joey Ortiz, by the way, has 8 with the Brewers. Now, Gunner has 7 in 625 innings, and the leaders have like 7, have 100 extra innings. And his fielding percentage, which they never use anymore, is .975. Which that is well down the list. He's like 17th in the majors in fielding percentage. But I just look at the physical tools to play the position. They're there for him.
Yeah, and the other thing is Westberg's a hell of a third baseman. You know, so I mean, to put your best players on the field, that's what you would want to do, I would imagine, is keep Westberg at third.
I like him at third. I think he's pretty solid. Jackson, Gunner, and Westberg, that to me is rock solid defensively.
Now, in the minors, when you watch Jackson Did you think that he could play short in the?
I did. I was surprised they moved to second, but somebody's got to move, right?
Yeah.
And so I saw a kid who didn't have Gunner's arm, but he handled short well, I thought. But I know a lot of people didn't see that same thing. So right now, they have three shortstops. Westberg was a shortstop at one time.
Yeah, and last year, because it looked like Holiday's arm, you know, was his shoulder, was something hurting him last year? Because he's throwing the ball this year with so much more zip. You know, last year we got a lot of lollipops, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're right. He's got more zip than you think.
Plus, you know, what he had, 10 pounds, and he lifted and did all those things. So
he looks like a linebacker up close.
He does?
He does. That big upper body is there for him. 410-583-1057, Vinny and Haney on the Fan, and Seth in Baltimore. Welcome in. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
All right.
Vinny, it's good to have you back, man. You've had a hell of a few months, man, so it's good to hear your voice.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, and Steve, I'm a huge fan, so it's good to hear your voice as well.
Thank you very much.
I want to ask you guys a question. I'm Mr. Optimist as well. I think I have a dollar bet that I'm going to lose with Jason about Trevor Rogers having 5 wins before the All-Star break. I always thought he was going to come out this year. But my question for you guys is, who's going to take over the team after Mancelino? Because I do agree with some of the callers. We don't play good fundamental baseball. And to me, that's, I think, our biggest problem moving forward, how to get our, you know, if you look at some of our losses, some of them are credited to, you know, bad baseball. But I think we can get over it because of what Steve was saying. Who's going to come in and take over this club? Is it going to be another Hyde Mancelino type of manager, or is it wildly – or am I just crazy for thinking that we could get somebody like Joe Maddon or a really big name manager to come teach these younger kids what it's like to be a pro ball player? And then finally, who are you eyeing in the pitching market that we could acquire? Because I agree that Kerstad's and there are some chips that we could move for real value at the trade deadline, not just Mullins and Laureano and maybe even Carlson. But I'd love to hear what you guys think in terms of how we move as buyers and sellers.
First thing on the manager front, Joe Maddon doesn't have anybody hiring him right now that I know of, right?
Yep.
He's a broadcaster. And so if the Orioles wanted to talk to Joe Maddon, I'm pretty sure he would take their call. And a veteran manager, Vinny, is going to like this team. Look at all the young talent. They're looking around seeing Gunner, Adley, Westberg, Kowser, Grayson. Plus they're seeing a new owner who's spent more money already than they previously has and has said publicly, we're not limited by the dollars. So these are not the $80 million payroll Orioles moving forward. I would think that would be attractive.
I think it's attractive in some respects. But the other thing is if Elias has a lot of say-so, then I don't think it's an attractive job for that kind of – because, you know, you got to do all analytics. You know, and a lot of these older guys – you know, they do some analytics, but not a lot. So I don't think that's a good fit there. And what older manager, you know, hey, here's our suggestions for the batting order. You'd be like, what? Serious? You know, so I don't think it's a good fit. And when I watch now, Steve, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I watch, you know, when they're making pitching changes, it's not Mancelino going on the phone. It's the pitching coach going on the phone. So it's almost like everybody's kind of doing their thing. You know, it's like a group effort where you don't really have that, you know, like when Bochy walks out there, you know, you got your real dude. You know, with Mancelino, he's learning the job and he doesn't know the job because – he lets the hitting coaches do their thing. He lets the pitching coach do his thing. He's still hitting ground balls to the infielders, doing all of that stuff. So, you know, you got to get a real guy. And I don't know, is that Britton?
It's probably too soon for Buck Britton to be a major league manager, especially a team that wants to contend next year. If this was the rebuilding Orioles, with his, you know, his background, his working with the young players. So the question is for the Orioles moving forward is if Mancelino hasn't done enough and they don't think he's going to keep the permanent job when they get to that topic, do they want one of these veteran guys who has won before? Maybe that's where they're at.
Well, my question to you is, and you know Elias, you know, has Elias lost some juice, number one? And number two, how much will he, like before, I'm guessing that if they would have brought in a manager a year ago, he would have almost been picking the guy. Now, if I'm the owners, you know, I'll take your suggestion, but you're not making the decision. You know, you kind of tell me, because you know what's going on over that place a lot more so.
Well, Mike said this. He said the organization has to analyze and evaluate everything we're doing when we've had a season this bad. He said that a couple times. So for me, maybe that means evaluate how you handle your manager. Maybe you bring in a stronger veteran manager who calls more shots than maybe Brandon Hyde was allowed to do. I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't.
It's kind of like Parcells where, you know, hey, you know, you want me, what, to wear? You want me to, you know, you want to go buy the groceries for me and, you know, you won't, however he said it, you
right,
know,
right.
kind of thing. But basically, you know, let me coach the team.
Exactly. That's why when fans said to me, Buck and Mike Elias, that's not a mix.
No.
That is just not a mix that would work. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Orioles proceed here. They've got some big decisions to make, not only this month with the trade deadline, but long-term decisions in the manager's office, too. 410-583-1057. It's Vinny and Haney on The Fan. Coming up, the whip around on The Vinny and Haney Show.